We hear about animals who communicate through sign language. Is it possible that long ago, animal communication evolved into human speech? What about primitive languages in other parts of the world? Stay tuned.
What we find is that there are over 5,000 known languages in the world today.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Secular scholars scoff at the Bible, especially the information found in the book of Genesis. One of the most ridiculed accounts is that of the Tower of Babel. But does the evolutionary story have a better explanation for the origin and diversity of language? Stay tuned as we discuss the evolutionary view of language and compare it to the biblical account. But first, Dave Phillips has a graduate degree in anthropology. He's also currently writing a book on the origin of races and language.
In Genesis chapter 10, it talks about the Table of Nations, where there was a great gathering, multitudes of people after the flood, and the Lord had instructed them that they were to spread out and diversify into other areas of the world and repopulate it. Instead, they chose, under the direction of Nimrod, to build this great tower, maintaining that if there ever was another flood, that they could build it high enough that the waters would not prevail against them.
This, of course, was both foolishness and rebellion. And God had other plans.
In order to cause the people to disperse, God specifically confused their languages, which at that point had been only one language. And therefore, the languages that others spoke sounded like babble or babbling. Therefore, the people diversified. If a particular group could understand the people around them, then those people would tend to congregate and separate from other groups, and the same would be true for other languages spoken.
But the biblical story of the Tower of Babel is singled out as one of the most ridiculous in all the Bible. Dr. John Oller is head of the Department of Communicative Disorders at the University of Southwestern Louisiana, Lafayette.
When we look at the scientific evidences of the case, the fact is that the Genesis record and the Table of Nations that's laid out there in the story of Babel and the account that's given of the dispersion of peoples all over the earth is at least as plausible as any other story that's ever been put forward.
So what secular explanations have been given for the different languages?
The evolutionists, for example, recommend a polygenesis theory that the many languages of the world were invented at different places and different times, and that language didn't just have one origin, but according to, for instance, former Harvard professor Dwight Bollinger, it had many origins simultaneously. So you had not, you know, a few apes coming down out of the trees and turning into human beings, but apes all over the earth were coming down out of the trees, not only turning into human beings, but also inventing languages, not in one place, but in multiple places.
But when you look logically at the probability of this happening, it seems impossible. It's been said that the probability that higher forms of life could evolve is less likely than a tornado sweeping through a junkyard and making a 747. According to Dr. Oller, for the evolutionist, the origin of language is as big a difficulty as that.
If believing that language can evolve once by accident is a junkyard mentality, as Fred Hoyle, the eminent astronomer, said, believing that multiple languages can evolve simultaneously is what I would call a multiple junkyard mentality, because it requires a multitude of impossible accidents to occur simultaneously.
But is this evolutionary model of the origin of language a plausible model? Dave Phillips.
Well, what's fascinating is, number one, what we find is that there are over 5,000 known languages in the world today. But what's the most interesting is none of those languages are primitive. That is to say, all of them have complex syntax structure. And no matter how primitive particular societies may be considered, say an islander in Micronesia or someplace like that, their language is extremely complex. Now, they may not have all of the exact same words that you and I have, computer chip or microwave oven, but nonetheless, the grammar and structure of their language is extremely complex and not simplistic in any way. So the question becomes, how in the world could language evolve from simple to the state that it's in today, assuming that evolution is true? The answer is that it could not.
And evolutionary thought doesn't have an explanation for that distinctness of human beings, nor does it have any satisfactory explanation for the scientific facts about language diversity.
On each continent, we find a multitude of language stocks which are so different that we can't trace them back to a common ancestor. At the same time, however, the fact that we can show the relationships between some of the languages suggests that languages really do change over time and that we ought to be able to trace them back to a common ancestor. And the fact that we can't do that is explained, oddly enough, by this repudiated story from the Bible, the Babel account.
An example of this?
We can trace the Indo-European languages back, for example, to about 3000 BC when the breakup of the Indo-European system began. We know that by various sources of evidence, but we can't go back beyond that point, or at least not with really valid scientific reasoning. We can't infer that the Indo-European language has a particular relationship to the Sino-Tibetan group, which is so completely distinct from the Indo-European group that they look like they had to have completely different sources. From that evidence, Bollinger reasoned that all of these different stocks had to have a separate point of origin.
But the biblical model does fit the evidence.
The biblical model proposes that there's an intelligence behind the language capacity, and that intelligence is really coming from God, the Creator, and that He is not, according to the Bible, similar to stones and trees and immobile, inanimate things, but that God created man in His own image, and the most distinctive characteristic of human beings is the language capacity, and it's the one that is the least like, the most different from all of the capacities manifested in other organisms.
Only the biblical model accounts for man's remarkable capacity for language.
It's from the language capacity that we get the concept and the possibility of moral responsibility. It's from the language capacity that we have the power to plan ahead and look to the future. It's from the language capacity that we have the power to review what we have done in the past and to experience remorse or a sense of guilt. I mean, all of these concepts of human experience are absolutely dependent upon the language capacity and are completely missing in other species. They're so completely missing in the other species that we could say that human experience is altogether unique in the so-called animal kingdom.
So, man and his ability to communicate is unique. And the only explanation that makes sense for language and language diversity is found in the Bible. But there's also a very important lesson for all of us from the Tower of Babel.
Because it's symptomatic of a problem that's plagued mankind all the way back from the beginning.
Doug Phillips is adjunct professor of apologetics with the Institute for Creation Research.
And that is a false faith in the ability of man to conquer the elements, a faith in the ability of man to be like God. And, of course, the very first reference we see of this on an international scale, or certainly a massive scale, was found in the Tower of Babel. The words that God gives us are particularly interesting because Genesis 11 verse 4 says this, "They said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heaven. Let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And this has always been a problem that mankind has. Let's come together so we can be as God. Let's make a name for ourselves. We don't need God. After all, we are God.
It happened several thousand years ago at Babel, but it's occurred throughout history. A more recent example is found when we look at the Titanic.
Of course, at the turn of the century, 1900, men had been strongly influenced by Darwinism, and the Darwinism had affected not only biology and evolutionary sciences, paleontology, etc., but it affected social thinking, and social Darwinism was pervasive, and this was the belief that the principles of evolution, the law of tooth and claw, fighting their way up to reach a pinnacle of success, moving up the evolutionary chain, this is what the White Star Line, the owner of the RMS Titanic, what they felt. So with their watertight compartments, with their amazing scientific achievement, at last they could say, let us make a name for ourselves. And let us come together and build the ultimate ship of dreams. And so historians have recognized that the Titanic was really the quintessential embodiment of the age of scientific optimism. It was the ship that had conquered nature, and it had done so because man was at the pinnacle of evolutionary success.
But God, in His grace, allows us to be reminded that we do need Him.
The lessons of the Titanic really are, in some respects, the same lessons as the Tower of Babel, that God will not tolerate man to come together under one banner and to say, let us make a name for ourselves. We don't need God. We are unsinkable. We've conquered the elements. Because the fact is, man still does need God. And there you had on the boat were people who, even as that ship was sinking, they did not believe it was going to go down, because after all, man had conquered the elements. Man was God. And so they wouldn't get on board the lifeboats. And many of those were among the 1,523 passengers who went down to a watery grave.
And we face the very same problems today. According to Dr. Ahler,
we're seeing breakthroughs and advances in all kinds of areas where people said that, you know, this couldn't be done, that couldn't be done, this will never be done, that'll never be accomplished. And one after another, all of those predictions of man's limits are falling like so many dominoes. We're seeing the fulfillment of what Daniel predicted, that knowledge is being greatly increased. Now, if that had happened at the time of Babel, then the gospel program would have been way off schedule. And the Bible teaches us that God overrules in the affairs of men, and apparently Babel was a dramatic intervention by God in human history to interrupt scientific and technological progress in such a way as to allow the gospel program and the redemption plan to be played out according to God's schedule and not according to man's.
And although the world around us may be rebelling against the Creator, we can rest in the knowledge that God is orchestrating His plan in His time to redeem those that call on Him.
As God told Israel, I have a plan for you and a future. And He said to Israel, He said, you think I'm just like you guys, but I'm not. And He said that He was merciful and kind and gracious. And God didn't allow the technological advances that would have occurred at Babel to occur at that time, because if it had happened, then the situation being what it was, men would, I believe, have brought themselves to the brink of destruction way ahead of schedule. And God intends for that to occur at a particular time when He intends to intervene. And He's still in control and still in charge. And the Babel story is entirely consistent with that biblical interpretation.
We hope you've enjoyed today's program and have learned something new about the origin of language and the biblical story of the Tower of Babel. We'd like to send you a free article on today's topic, Impact Article Number 28, Language, Creation, and the Inner Man. Please request Impact Number 28 when you contact us. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800-7-GENESIS. Or 1-800-743-6374. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.